Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast to coast. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. My website is www.jbsba.com. In a few minutes, I'm going to get back into some thoughts on how to get a loan from a bank. But before we do that, I want to talk about some news that that I want you to know about. As some of you may know, approximately July 16th, Microsoft announced that they had found a flaw in their operating system. And those of you who listen to the show know that I'm not a techie. I use the heck out of technology. I certainly do appreciate it, but I'm not a techie. So I'm basically at this point I'm a reporter, and I'm trying to get some facts out to you as quickly and as accurately as I can. So if I'm not saying everything perfectly, then you'll forgive me because I'm not a techie. In fact, I'm going to try to have somebody on the show tomorrow to go over this in more detail. But you need to know what I'm about to tell you because there is some urgency. Again, on July 16th or so, Microsoft announced they had a flaw in their operating system, and that they immediately put up a patch, made a patch available to fix it. And so some people got the patch and some people didn't. Well, the patch was to prevent a virus, which is also, in this particular case, in today's news, called a worm. And that's right, just like an earthworm. And that worm is, they were concerned at the time that there was, someone would do what's actually been done, and that the people who are the bad actors out there who are creating the viruses and the worms would identify this fault in the operating system and try to arrange for some kind of a device, some kind of a program to attack Microsoft operating systems, which is exactly what has happened. Now, the worm du jour is called MS Blast, also Lovsan, L-O-V-S-A-N, also Blaster, or simply the Windows RPC worm. And it was deployed yesterday afternoon about 7 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And what it's doing is what happens is this worm actually probes a computer and it randomly scans the internet, I should say, and it tries to communicate with other computers through a port. It's called port 135. That's not important to you. But it scans the internet for computers that will communicate with it. And once the virus or the worm initiates communication with your computer, it sends it a piece of software code. Now, this is a report that I'm reading part of this from CNN, from a Dow Jones Newswire, actually, but it also was reported by CNN. But once it scans the internet, it sends your computer a piece of software code. Your computer responds. Now, you don't have to do anything. This may be happening in the middle of the night. It may be happening right now. Your computer responds that computer, the computer that's probing it with the worm, can give it a file. In other words, this somebody else's computer has the worm that probes your computer, and your computer says, "Okay, I hear you. I got your call. I'll take your file." And so that computer sends the file, which has the worm in it, to your computer, which your computer then downloads and immediately executes, at which point your computer becomes an infected computer and starts the process itself. It starts probing the internet itself and doing exactly what the other computer had done to it. And so, here are the the systems that seem to be affected by this. Windows XP system, Windows XP operating system, Windows 2000, and Windows NT 4.0. Now, it can get into your desktop computer, your laptop computer. It doesn't matter if you've got DSL. It doesn't matter if you've got if you have cable. It doesn't matter. It could even get in through the dial-up. If your dial-up's up long enough, this will happen. And as long as your computer becomes infected, as long as you're connected to the internet, it will go about its work in trying to infect other computers. So what happens is you get thousands, millions probably, of infected computers who haven't received this patch to fix the flaw in the operating system for Microsoft. Then what happens is that you got all these computers out there who are doing this work that's unproductive, and basically it's sort of like billions of spam. It slows down everything. It sort of helps to grind the internet and all of our systems to a halt. Now, apparently it's not the kind of thing that like a virus that shuts down your computer or anything like that. And it doesn't send like a virus. It doesn't go into, apparently, I don't know this for sure, but what I've read so far is it doesn't go into your mailboxes, or I should say your address books, and send email to anybody. It strictly talks to one computer to another computer. But according to what I've read here, the file is supposed to, let's see here, on August 16th, that's this month, every machine infected with the worm will be directed to attack windowsupdate.com. So your computer could be destined to become an attack computer, but here's what you need to do. Go to microsoft.com. Upper right-hand corner of that website, on that homepage, there is a link to downloading the patch. Do it now. Now, you might want to check with your technical expert if you're not, but I think you need to check that out, and you need to do it quickly, because this worm is going out there right now, and these things operate very fast. So try to protect yourself. That's anybody with Windows XP, Windows 2000, or Windows NT 4.0. And even if you don't have those, if you have another kind of a Windows program, you might want to check those updates at Microsoft.com. Word to the wise. 20 after, I'll be right back. Back is 23 after. Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Don't forget to check out that worm patch, that patch that Microsoft has available for you at Microsoft.com. Don't forget to do that. Check with your technology expert, whoever is helping you with your computer. And if you don't have anybody doing that, then just do it. Just go there and check it out. It's not going to hurt you, and it might help you, it might protect you, and it certainly will prevent you from becoming part of this worm's army. So check that out when you get a chance. In fact, don't check it out when you get a chance. Do it now. Well, actually, after the show, or unless you can do it while you're listening. Okay, I want to continue our series on how to get a loan from a bank. In the last couple of visits we've had, I've talked to you about making sure that you understand getting a loan from a bank is like qualifying a prospective customer. You go through a process of qualifying a customer to make sure, to find out if they're even somebody that can do business with you, even if they possibly are somebody who could ever do business with you. And you go through the qualifying process. You've been taught to do that probably. And so you do the same thing with a banker. And what we've been talking about are six qualifying steps, and we've gone through three of them. The first one was who is the decision maker. The second one is what do they need. The third one is how do they want it delivered, whatever they need. And then the fourth one is where we are right now, and that's what motivates them. What motivates your banker? It's important first that we establish that all banks need to make loans. one of the prime ways they earn profits to keep their doors open and provide value to their shareholders. But here's the thing that you need to remember. This is part of the qualifying process. All banks don't like the same kinds of loans. Some banks are set up to make working capital loans. A working capital loan is where you use your inventory and your receivables, typically, as collateral. They're fairly complicated, fairly sophisticated lending relationships and lending facilities. And so it takes a bank that is used to doing those kinds of loans to managing the collateral, helping you manage the collateral, your receivables, and your inventory. Some banks are set up to do that. Some aren't. So if you ask a bank to make a working capital loan before you've determined whether they even make working capital loans or not, then you basically could be wasting your time. So you want to make sure you find out. If you're looking for a working capital loan, you want to find out if their bank actually makes those kinds of loans. Sometimes they're called asset-based loans. Typically, an asset-based loan is what I just said, where the inventory and the receivables are the prime collateral. Some banks take pride in really helping small businesses, and some just talk about it in their advertising, but don't actually deliver. Find out from before you get too invested in a bank, find out what their track record is for helping small business owners. Find out if they're only choosing, and you can do this by talking to your friends, talking to other people in the community. And some banks say that they want to work for small business, but what that means is they only want to take the top 5% of small businesses, the people who essentially don't even need the money because they're in such good financial shape they don't need the money. Well, most small businesses aren't like that. In fact, probably 95% of us aren't like that. So, I like to work with banks that are prepared to take more of a risk than that. And I guarantee you small business owners need banks that will do that. So pay attention to that. Most banks make real estate loans. But each bank that you'll talk to has its own profile of what they're interested in. Are they interested in residential property? Or maybe investment property like multifamily housing or commercial property like a duplex office building or maybe a strip center or whatever, any kind of an investment property. Some banks make those loans and some don't. Also, business property. Typically, most banks will loan money for you to buy the building that your business is in or help you buy a piece of property, a piece of land next door for you to expand into. But what you need to realize is that every bank has its own profile for real estate that they're interested in, and that's it. And that can change quarterly, so you need to pay attention to that. So you need to qualify your bank for the kinds of loans that they're motivated to loan. During your initial conversations, what the banker says to you about your proposal should tip you off about their attitude. And here's what it might sound like. We have a lot of computer upgrade loans in our portfolio, or we don't make a lot of used car floor plan loans. And they might say something like that will tip you off a little bit about yours. So if you don't get some indication of the level of interest, it's okay to ask. It's okay to say, Susan, does your bank make asset-based loans where accounts receivable and inventory are the collateral? Just ask them outright. What motivates a bank to loan you money for your business today, remember this now, what motivates a bank to loan you money today may be different next quarter or next year. Things change at banks every quarter, certainly once a year. They have different motivations as far as what kind of loans they're looking for. So just like you qualify a customer, qualify a bank and find out what it motivates them. In the next series on this, next part of this series, we're going to talk about how motivated your banker is, how to find out how motivated they are. Quick break is 29 after. I'll be right back with Richard DeKayser. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.